Hey folks, did you know that during the holiday season, Risk just continues to bring you brand new episodes? Brand new holiday stories. Hilarious, heartbreaking, tear-jerking, or just plain strange. Plus, reruns of holiday favorites. So while you're traveling around or shopping or just caught up in the holiday shuffle, don't forget, there's always something happening on Risk. Hey folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from the earlier years of the podcast. This week, it's the best of funny stuff, number 6. In a little bit, we're going to hear from Paula Pazderka, but first, a story from Eric Hufnagel. Here's Eric now with a story we call The Milk of Amnesia.
Hello. So growing up, I was always a chubby kid. But as I grew, chubby became fat, and fat became obese. And by the time I was 18 years old, I was 310 pounds. Nice round number. Nice round existence. And it didn't come as a surprise. I mean, I had a really bad diet. When I was growing up, I thought a great snack was melted cheese. I thought a healthy snack was a banana cut up in a bowl with about 2 cups of whipped cream. Healthy. And when I got a little older, you know, while kids were drinking beer and wine at parties, I was drinking Baileys. And not just shots of Baileys. No, no, no. Bottles of Baileys. And also, I was that kid who only wore exclusively sweatpants and t-shirts with dragons on them. Yeah, I was a virgin for a while. So it shouldn't have come as such a giant surprise when one day after taking my 4th giant shit of the day, looking in the bowl and finding a copious amount of blood. Oh, yeah, I know, right? That was my reaction. So after building up the confidence to go to my parents and tell them I was shitting blood at 18 years old, we went to my physician, who had been my physician my whole life, so he was technically my pediatrician. yeah. And he told me I had to go in for a colonoscopy. And that's where they put a camera right up your butthole. Take a look around. So the day of the procedure, I went in and left my mom in the waiting room. And the small, very angry nurse took me back to the, you know, preparation station. Once she got me back to the room, she said, "Take off your clothes and put them in the basket." So she left, which was nice. I took off my sweatpants and my t-shirt, so it didn't take long. And I donned the traditional gown, the nice paper-thin gown of surgical procedures. And I laid down on the little, I don't know, gurney. And I was expecting her to come back in, and instead, in came Nurse Amy. Oh, yeah, I know. You seen her, huh? Nurse Amy was smoking hot. I was 18 years old, you know, chubby, zitty nerd. So, this tall, thin, blonde, young, covered in makeup, young woman comes in, and, she comes in to, you know, check out my veins to put in the tubes for, you know, easy drug access. So she's feeling my veins. Yeah. I wasn't much for conversation at this point because I was mainly focusing on not getting an erection. because it had been a problem in the past. even just going to, you know, the orthodontist to get my braces tightened, you know, the assistant would brush by and her breasts would brush my head and, you know. But at least there I had, you know, that little like table of tools just like right over it. So it just hit it and that was good. And no one knew except for me. So the only thing inhibiting my penis at this point was, you know, a thin paper sheet of gown. So I was very nervous, and I think that saved me, because luckily she did not encourage an erection. But after she had, you know, rigged up my hand with all the tubes, she gave me a People magazine to keep me nice and entertained as she wheeled me back to the operating room. This was about the time where Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes were just getting together, so they were front center with their giant white smiles and their Scientology. And that was just about the last couple I wanted to see before I went in to, you know, get my asshole probed for being fat. So Tom's psycho smile. So I tossed that down. Just in time to see the last patient being wheeled out of the room. And he looked like shit. He was on his side, snoring loudly, with his ass right out, just right where I could see it. You know, middle-aged, about the age you're supposed to be when you're getting a colonoscopy. And as he was wheeled out came two nurses following him with two giant jugs of brown liquid. Oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. So, Nurse Amy wheels me into this room, and it's that, you know, classic white, sterile environment, and classical music playing, which I suppose was supposed to be comforting or calming, but I was getting a total, like, Patrick Bateman sort of vibe from this area, and it was not good. So she stops me there in front of the little monitor, little screen for looking at buttholes. And she walks over to the little table where they've got a little book, which I peeked over, and it was a picture book of colons of varying different diseases. So that was nice. I was hoping I wasn't going to be admitted to that book. Next thing I know, in comes the doctor with his, you know, silver hair in a ponytail and his nice groomed beard and his vest. And he's way too fucking excited about this procedure. Way too excited. He comes in, he's like, "Oh, afternoon, ladies. It's just me and Nurse Amy." I don't know if that helped him in some way. yeah. So I'm comfortable. And he starts hitting on Nurse Amy harder than I was. Eventually, you know, making his way over to me, asking me about graduating high school. What did I do? Nothing. And then he's, you know, tells me about what he did. And it was go down to New Mexico with a couple bottles of tequila and his buddies. I'm like, cool, yeah. Still very excited. And as I'm telling him about graduation, he starts to inject me with a wonderful solution. It's called propofol. It's this white, milky gift from the gods. They call it milk of amnesia because in small amounts, it's meant to put you in a state of, you know, lucidity to take commands, but not remember shit. So it's basically a really potent date rape drug. It's also what killed Michael Jackson. So, oh, I know, I just dropped it down a little bit. So, I'm fine. So he starts injecting me with this shit, and he's obvious he's dealt with this a lot because he goes, as I'm telling him a story, I start to slur my words and kind of disappear a little. And he goes, "You feel that?" Yeah, I think this guy recreationally used this shit. So I say, "Yeah." And he says, "Okay, well, roll over on your side, exposing my ass." And I was all too willing, because I was on cloud nine. And I looked over at the gas tanks, and their letters and numbers started to swirl off and float around the room, and then everything went dark. But I don't think they realized how large I was, because they didn't give me enough. And I remember plenty. Good for you guys, right? So next thing I remember is the doctor's dimming the lights. It's romantic. And he opens the door, and in walk way too many people for this procedure. I think they must have been students or something, or maybe his buddies, his bros. They all come in, and there's that fucking classical music playing. So it's like him probing my ass is like becoming the scene from 2001 A Space Odyssey. Da, 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 da. So so normally it would be really embarrassing to be in a nice dim room having your asshole probed with a bunch of strangers there and classical music playing, but I was high as fuck. And this was my stage. And this audience had front row seats to the best show in the world. My colon. So I started hamming it up. telling jokes. At least I think I was telling jokes, because they were laughing a lot. And meanwhile, my mom is in the waiting room, and she can hear all this. And she later told me it was pretty strange to hear an entire room of people cackling in the, you know, colonoscopy ward. And I'm also flirting with Nurse Amy with a newfound confidence. I'm like, "Well, ooh, Amy, what are you doing? She's shoving shit in my ass. I mean, obviously I've gotten in, so." She's down. Then the other effect of propofol starts to take effect, and that's intense hallucination, which you're usually supposed to sleep through. So I got to experience this wonderful part. And, you know, things are swimming around the room, voices are flowing over me like warm water, and my attention goes to the screen, which is a, you know, view inside of me at this point. And there's something in there. There's something at the end of that tunnel. And it's moving out. And it's not shit. I knew that right away. And so I was like, "God, why don't these people notice this? There's something coming out of there." And so as it's slowly pushing out, it starts to pass the screen. And now it's floating into the room. And then it floats right past my head. And it's Tom Cruise's face from the fucking People magazine. With his fucking stark white smile, that psycho smile. And I think I need to let these people know what's going on. So I distinctly remember pointing and yelling, "There's a little man in there!" And everyone laughed, and I passed out. guess it was a little too much for me. So the next memory I have is coming to as a brand new nurse is pushing me out of the room, and she's wheeling me to the recovery area. And she's saying, you know, you're gonna have a little excess gas. And before she can finish her sentence, I like lift the blanket with my excess gas. Not very concerned with being charming at that point. And she stops, and I look over, and sitting next to me is Cheech Marin. And not just any Cheech Marin, it's Cheech Marin directly from Up in Smoke. And so he's got his little beanie on and his little tank top and his suspenders, and he's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, it's not all right, Cheech. And then he he ripples, and it's my mom. My mom looks nothing like Cheech Marin. So she's consoling me. Everything will be okay. And I'm like, no, it won't. And then her face like slides off her skull, and I pass out again. So then I came to again. The doctor is there talking to my mom, and I can kind of make out what they're saying. And he's saying, well, we didn't figure it out, so we're going to have to reschedule. Yeah, right? I guess he liked me. Eventually I was able to, you know, get up, and my mom, you know, I'm like a foot taller than my mom, or two, and she's leading me out of the hospital. My hospital visit concludes with me dancing past pediatrics, a waiting room full of children and mothers, yelling about, I'm so high, oh, fuck, oh, but it's cool, man, the doctor gave it to me. It's cool, it's cool. The cops can't do shit. Yeah, that's what I was concerned about. in the end, I did lose most of the weight, and the problem just went away. I wonder if they were connected in some way. But I did have to go back in for another colonoscopy and an endoscopy, where they shove a camera down your throat, because apparently they wanted to, you know, do all the holes. No, they didn't. They didn't enjoy this at all.
You look fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Oh, there's my ego stroke for the night. In conclusion, although I did have to go back in, and you better believe they dosed me big time when they heard about my memories, at least I did get to have another taste of that sweet, sweet milk. Thank you.
Hey, folks, I want to tell you about a new podcast called Reflector. If you love Risk, you love true stories, right? And on each episode of Reflector, they really dive into some of the thorniest, messiest issues facing our society today, from addiction to election denial to what inspires people to commit violence. And they weave together a story that highlights the nuances and idiosyncrasies of our human nature. On a recent episode, I was so excited to see that they have my friend Mike Pesca come on to talk about how and why politicians lie. Well, some more than others. So you can find this new podcast by searching for Reflector right now on whatever app you're using to listen to Risk.
We're back.
A man leaned over and whispered in my ear, I will knock 3 times at your door at midnight. You will open the door. You will look at my dick for 10 seconds. You will close the door, and we will never speak of it again. Let me back up. for a second and tell you how we got to this point. I went to high school and college at a time when there was no Google and there was no ask.com. I was also raised Catholic, so my sex education consisted of materials that were developed in the 1960s that had weird language like heavy petting. Also, the illustrations in these books were like pencil or pen outlines of anatomy. I had a vagina, and I could not recognize that that is what it was. I thought it looked like an onion slice or a sad waffle. The penis, which I hadn't had much experience seeing, I thought looked like a sad wilting flower that never bloomed, or a cat toy that didn't have the feather on the end. I went to an all-girl Catholic high school, and so I tried to supplement this information about sex and penises from my friends, because I had a burning question. It was something that I did not understand, and that is, why? Why would you cut a dick? Why do you circumcise penises? I don't understand. Why would you do that? If you cut the folds of an accordion, it no longer plays beautiful music. But if you cut the folds of a dick, it's okay. It still works. I don't understand. I now know why the flower is sad. My friends tried to help me, but I'm a visual learner. I like to look at things, get my hands on it. One of my friends told me that a penis is like a baby's arm in a winter jumpsuit. A circumcised penis is when the mitten is not on the hand. It still works. An uncircumcised penis, the baby is wearing the mitten. It still works. I did not like that analogy. I did not like the fact that like my babysitting world and my almost not but not real sex life world were sort of combining, and thinking that a baby was a penis, it did not sit well with me. It did not. It did not. So high school ended. Oh, I would also like to add that during my high school years, I did have a boyfriend. And I had seen glances of penises, but there was always kind of like a wayward glance. Like never on in the light where you could see it well. I had done a lot of dark groping underneath Umbro shorts. Sometimes Z Cavaricci pants. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so I went to college. I was so excited. I was going to Marquette University, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah. There were gonna be boys there. There was gonna be beer there. And there was gonna be a lot of learning there. A lot of learning. My freshman year, there was not a lot of learning like that. I don't know if it was because I was loud or what. Or for whatever reason, I hadn't even had really any like wayward glances or groping. And this was all about to change, or I thought it would. It was the end of my freshman year and it was finals week. And I did not have a final the next day. So what was I doing? Drinking in a dorm room, because I didn't have to study for that next test right then. It was 2 days away. Plenty of time to get my beer mind working. I was drinking in my friend Andrea's room, and I loved to drink with Andrea. She was so much fun, because when she got really drunk, she acted like Punky Brewster. It was awesome. And we were also drinking with Andrea's roommate's boyfriend. His name was Ewan. Andrea's roommate, her name was Leanne. I didn't really like her. She was one of those girly girls that spent a lot of time on her hair. And she's also like majoring in something that wasn't very interesting, like communications. So I never really paid too much attention to her, and likely so, I did not pay any attention to Ewan. He seemed super duper boring. He was like 6 foot tall, blonde, wore khaki pants and button-down shirts. He could have been an Abercrombie & Fitch model, but boring. So boring. Now let me tell you that my freshman year, I pursued a man vigorously who had shaved his initials into his hairy chest and also on his head. So that's the kind of guy I liked. A little bit quirky, maybe not beautiful, but interesting, funny, good to talk to. So Andrea and Ian and I were drinking, and we had covered all the usual bases. He talked about how Leanne might be the one. And Andrea was kind of lamenting that she had spent this whole year being faithful to her high school boyfriend who did not go to Marquette with her. And she was starting to get a little upset because she started to convince herself that he had been cheating on her this whole time. And so she kind of got more emotional as we downed those Zimas. And it was the 90s. Anyway, so the night went on and she became more and more enraged. And finally she said, "I don't understand. Dicks are ugly. And I don't know why. I don't know why they would make something as beautiful as a baby." And this is where Ewan got mad. He said, "Dicks are not ugly. They are beautiful. I have a very beautiful penis." I tried to calm them down. I said, "A dick is only ugly if it's having sex with somebody else that it's not supposed to. I'm sure your dick is beautiful. I've never seen it, but judging by the way that you look, I'm sure it is a very beautiful penis." Let's get back to those Zimas. Unfortunately, that did not defuse the situation. Ewan was still angry, and Andrea was starting to cry. So I did the only thing that I could to defuse it. I said something that was totally crazy, and it was, "I wish I could see an uncircumcised penis." And then Ewan looked at me and he said, "I'm from Poland. My dick is not circumcised." All of a sudden, Ewan was interesting. It was like he had a hairy chest and had just shaved his initials in it. Because all of a sudden, I was like, "Ewan, yeah." And he said, "I would like to show it to you. I would like you to show it to me, too." And that's when Andrea became the voice of reason. "I don't think Leanne's going to like that. I don't think Leanne is going to like it if she walks in right now and sees you showing your penis to two girls. It's kind of like her penis for now." "Oh, no, no, no. Not according to you." "No, it's my penis," he said. "She likes it. She thinks it's nice, but it's my penis." Anyway, Andrea thought it would be a good idea if we all went home. So as she gathered up all the Zima bottles and went down the hall to throw them away, Ewan leaned over to me and he whispered, "Midnight is in 10 minutes. I'm going to come to your door at midnight. I'm going to knock 3 times. You will open the door. You will look at my penis for 10 seconds. You will close the door. And we will never speak of it again." I was ecstatic. I ran down the hall. I put on my pajamas for the show. My roommate, who had been studying all night, was like, "What's the word?" And I was like, "Ewan's coming down to show me his dick."
She's like,
what? What crazy world are you living in? You don't even like him. He's boring. I'm like, it's uncircumcised. Yeah. She goes, how does Leanne feel about this? I'm like, what? Don't rain on my parade. I'm like, I don't know. She goes, how would you feel if your boyfriend showed someone else their dick? I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I don't want you to feel guilty about this experience. She was right. I mean, I was Catholic. I mean, guilt is like my middle name. So I thought about it. And I thought, oh man, I just have this thirst for knowledge. I'm at a university. This is what we're supposed to do here. I'm supposed to get my learn on. But then I thought, if my learning means hurting somebody else, even though she's boring and she's not my friend, is that okay? And before I had time to think about it much more, there was a knock at the door. And Kathy turned to me and she said, he's early. It's like, that's weird. And I thought, I don't care about Leanne, but I don't want to hurt someone in my pursuit of knowledge. So I turned off the light and I got into my bed with my Laura Ashley sheets and comforters. I hugged my pillow and I thought, all right, sometimes you're not supposed to open those doors, okay? And I went to sleep and I had a horrible night's sleep. The next day, after lunch, I was walking in the hall and I saw Leanne and Ewan, and it was evident that they were not getting along. And then she marched right up to me, got in my face and said, thank you. Thank you for not opening the door. That was me. I knocked on your door last night to see if you would betray me. And you didn't. You are a good person. Thank you. And she marched away. I didn't have the heart or time to tell her that I was like an equal participant. And I really wanted to open the door. Ewan kind of sulked over to me, and then he leaned down and said, I will come to your door tonight. At midnight, I will knock 3 times. You will open the door. You will look at my dick for 10 seconds. You will close the door. And we will never speak of it again. I had kind of created this, like, dick monster. I mean, I did want to see his penis, but I didn't want to see his penis if I was going to hurt somebody. You know? And so it was still, I had the same problem. Here she just thanked me very aggressively for not looking at his penis. And so I still had the same problem, and I thought, what can I do? I can't open that door. I want it so bad. I just want to learn and understand this uncut dick thing, please. And so he did come that night at midnight, knocked 3 times. And I did not open the door. And I thought, some doors are meant not to be opened. I know, I was sad too. My friends were also sad, but they respected my decision. So they, like, tried to help me after that. I would get, like, magazine ripped out pages of penises under my door. One of my friends, like, raided a porn shop with VHS tapes and painstakingly cut out the uncircumcised penises and taped them to a piece of paper. And eventually I graduated from Marquette, only seeing these, you know, poor images. And, you know, I understand that Ewan and Leanne broke up our senior year. And I eventually got married. I married someone who was one of my early dark groping victims from high school. And I was thinking, I wonder if he ever thinks about the time he tried to show a girl in his girlfriend's dorm his dick. I wonder if he ever thinks about that. And I wonder if he wonders why I didn't open that door. Because I do. I really wish I would have opened that door. So my advice to you is never live with regrets.
Thank you, guys.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through? Something in your eyes was so inviting, something in your smile was so exciting, something in my heart told me I must have you.
This is Risk. This is Frank Sinatra behind me now, and we just heard from Paula Pazderka. There's more funny stuff episodes, as well as true crime episodes, sex stories episodes, and more at risk-show.com/special series. Folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
Ever since that night, we've been together, lovers at first sight. In love forever, it turned out so right, for strangers in the night. Doo-dee-doo-bee-doo,
folks, there's so much more of Risk in the holiday season. Risk is always publishing new episodes and new stories, as well as holiday favorites. This holiday season, don't forget, click on Risk.